I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background.
Welcome into a brand new episode of the podcast, Theanos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by a man who always makes it a true daily double. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, what's going on, man?
Not too much. You know, I'm gambling on life and, always doubling down. That's the thing to do, right?
That is the thing to do. All of your snow gone down there?
Yes, it has been beautiful, although up and down wild. But spring is here, friend.
Yeah, as many of you know, I live in South Canada, and it was bitter cold today. But even still, you can kind of feel like, I think we're done with winter.
Yes.
Yes.
Tigers are on television. It's a good time to be alive.
Tigers are dominating on television. So I want to get into Jeopardy James. We discussed this over text a little bit. Have you stayed up on Jeopardy James?
I've not watched any of the episodes, but I'm a little familiar. Evidently, he's taking a very aggressive, betting on himself, doubling down approach to the game of Jeopardy. I have the essentials?
Yeah. The thing with Jeopardy James is he's very good at Jeopardy. Hence the
Which
nickname.
Helps.
So we've watched a couple of them. He's racked up over $100,000 in Jeopardy winnings on several shows. Wow. He has like the 3 all-time highest winnings, which, to be honest, I feel like they're normally kind of in like the 20 to 30 range. So that's like 3 times what they normally make. But the interesting bit with Jeopardy James is he's a professional sports gambler, which, to be honest, I didn't super know that was a profession. Like, actually make money at that is nuts, and to do it professionally.
I suppose there's professional poker players. I'm assuming many of the same principles are involved.
You would think so. I think
knowing
it's interesting
your craft and...
it's not necessarily like that, and knowing loads of trivia don't necessarily seem to like overlap in my mind.
Well, smart people tend to be smart at many things that require smarts.
It's true. In a super elegant way of putting such a highbrow sentiment.
Yeah, when you're dumb, you're probably dumb at lots of stuff.
Yeah, I feel like that's just kind of a general rule. But yeah.
So tell me about Jeopardy James. I mean, so he's a home run hitter, right? So if Ken Jennings is like Ichiro, he's going for the base hits. Jeopardy James is like what? Adam Dunn.
Except for he never misses. Like, it's
he's Barry Bonds.
Yeah, I guess that would probably be the all-time great. The one thing that I saw a stat a couple days ago that he was, over the course of his first 11 shows, he missed a total of 10 questions. Like, he just never actually gets anything wrong, in addition to always wagering very large on the daily doubles, in which he always gets right, hence the...
Which he always gets, because he always gets all the questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smart.
So anyway, the discussion on the internet is he the greatest competitor in his field ever, amongst all fields? And I think he's making a pretty strong case. It'll be interesting to see if he gets Ken, because
I'm a Ken guy.
I'd love to see them face off. I don't see anyone beating Jeopardy James though. Although we never saw anyone beating Ken when he was on there either.
True.
It'll be interesting to see if he can turn himself into a faux internet celebrity like Ken has since.
I've read some of Ken Jennings' books and stuff. Like, he's pretty smart and talented. I think he's funny on Twitter. He's fine.
Yeah, I feel like you two would have a very similar sense of humor.
I enjoy Ken Jennings stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, that brings us to this week's leadoff question. If you could go on any game show, which would you pick?
Oh, man. Jeopardy, I like the you get to show off in Jeopardy, right?
Yeah, a little
bit. You get to show off your skills. But I would probably want one that, you know, is just a feature only of luck. Right. Because
really?
You're on a game show. It's a little scary. I just want, you know, to spin a wheel for money. So maybe Price is Right.
Okay.
I don't got to work too hard at it.
I thought you were going to say Wheel of Fortune, which there actually is some like word puzzle to figure that one out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What are you going on?
I want to go on Family Feud. And that's primarily to meet Steve Harvey. Steve, obviously, a big role model of mine. I feel like I'm very much the Steve Harvey of this show.
You look a lot alike.
For a while, I had a pretty short buzz. So, I mean, not quite, you know, big bald like him, but, you know, getting there. But no, that's one of my favorite games to watch. I can't say that I spend a lot of time watching game shows. But when I do, always Family Feud. And it's always like, oh, come on, the answer's right there. I feel like I could do halfway decent at that.
Well, I'm glad we got all up to speed on nursing home television. Really.
If you
really plugged in.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we'd love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on Google Play, iTunes, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So it was another very typical week for a middling baseball club. Last week ended 2-3, and coming into today's doubleheader with Boston, we're smack dab at 500. Obviously won the first. As we're speaking, we're winning the second, but there's anything but certainty there.
No, it's certain now with our bullpen. Are you kidding me? It's a lockdown group.
Our bullpen shy one massive member in today's news. Are you up on
Blaine
that?
Blaine got hurt. Yeah, Blaine got hurt. Forearm strain or something like that.
Yeah, you know what that, I mean, not to speculate, but you know what that normally leads to. It's not a good one.
Forearm strain?
Yeah, forearm is usually the precursor to TJ.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought it would be elbows.
Well, I mean, both, but forearm, yeah. I mean, it's very intertwined. Any standout moments for you in the last week? I feel like there was a couple.
Daniel Norris working some strong innings. I thought that was good. I mean, Boyd today put up some strong numbers. I would say earlier today, we hit a couple home runs.
Yeah, what is that?
Grayson Griner in back-to-back games hitting bombs. And I would say what stood out to me is the lower portion of our lineup producing some runs.
Yeah, it's
guys like Ronnie Rodriguez getting some hits. I mean, Dixon, guys you wouldn't expect right away.
Yeah, Peterson. So we're currently at 500, and going into the start of the year, that's probably better than we would have expected. How enjoyable have you found the first couple weeks, considering we are doing maybe a little bit better than expected?
I've of course am biased and I find all Tigers baseball delightful, but I found it especially delightful because we're in games. Our pitching has kept us in everything. Our bullpen's been strong. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah. That's very true. I hadn't really considered that, but I mean, as many saves as Shane Green has, it, you know, is a testament to how many close games we've been in. I always kind of thought of myself as a pitching guy. But it's a little uninspiring for me with just how few runs that we're scoring.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, I love to see the development on Boyd and hopefully, you know, carried on with Norris. But it would be nice to see a little bit little bit more offense. Let's start positive this week, though. We all watched Daniel Norris, kind of the perfect thing to throw on Easter, your TV, your family gathering. He was absolutely dicey. Was there any spur of like talk of a resurrected career on Easter in your household?
Oh, Zig. You know, you're going to ask the question, you know, has Daniel Norris turned the corner? Of course. You know, he's still... He always, maybe it's just his style, but he always seems a little erratic to me. Like the way he finishes pitches and like jumps around or like he's falling off to the side or something like that. I feel like when his stuff is working, he's doing just fine. But I think he can get out of whack a little bit fast. Or maybe it's just perception because of kind of his style. Do you know what I mean at all?
Oh, yeah. Like the mechanics aren't super repeatable.
Yes, I guess. And in fact, I think they even asked him that in a post-game interview. But he said, like, oh, yeah, I felt really confident. It was all working. I felt locked in. And I wonder if feel is kind of the right word for Norris. If he is feeling it and it feels right for him, he's pretty lights out. But if he's got an off day, I think he could. I think he can battle it a lot, too.
Oh, for sure. And I think it's interesting. Like, he's become almost a different personality type to when he came up. When he came up, he was the van man. He, you know, surfed.
Yeah,
and not that all of that stuff is gone. Just we don't see any of that. He kind of seems a little beaten down by life, at least from what you know, he puts out publicly. And you wonder how much of just he is a different dude out there on the mound and how much of that comes from not having the same stuff, not having the same results as he's used to.
Well, and they got him through five innings scoreless, and my brain was like, okay, done. Get him out of there. Get him a taste of success. Don't let him get any further and stub his toe. Like, get him some positive mojo going.
Yeah, it was a season high in curveball and changeup usage, and by far the least he's used of his slider.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you could even eyeball that the curveball was a massive weapon for him against the White Sox, and to be honest, I can't really remember it the last time that it was kind of that snappy, shall we say?
Sure.
So if that's kind of the, I don't know, pitching has gone so far to the slider end of the curveball or the breaking ball spectrum. It's always interesting to see somebody bring back kind of the hammer like that.
Right.
Just give
the 12-6 curve.
Yeah. Just give hitters a little bit something. You know, if they're seeing 70% sliders, that makes the 30% curveballs, you know, that much more effective.
Sure.
So we'll have to see if that's kind of a ratio going forward or just kind of what happened on the day. Big thing for me is he wasn't constantly falling behind, which is kind of an issue for him. I have down expectations and hopes for him for the rest of the year. Let's start with hopes.
Hopes. I don't have monster hopes for him. I want him to be able to be comfortable in a starting rotation, take the ball every 5 days, stay healthy, and not let the wheels fall off. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You give up 3, 4, 5 runs, okay, but let's not have any like 7, 8 run crooked number performances. You know,
just keep
within yourself. Battle through some and build through some in some consistency, I think, is my big hope for Norris this year.
Yeah, I think my big thing for him is I'd love to see him pitch into the sixth inning more often than not. Not necessarily finish it, but get through your five solid. Get it to the bullpen that's pretty good. You know, if you can get through that sixth inning, that's great. He seems like a guy that fades a little quicker than many. But just go out there and turn in five innings every time, and then, you know, maybe a little more, you know, pick, you know, add and subtract kind of as the outing's going.
Let me ask you this. Is Daniel Norris a starting pitcher for our club in September at the end of our year?
Health assuming, which is obviously a massive.
It's the biggest. And, you know, don't assume that. I mean, if you think he's, you know,
I think he is. I think if he's healthy, he will be. I'm not entirely sure on health. I mean, it's hard to project injuries anyone essentially other than him. I don't see him making 30 starts this year. So whether he finishes the race, you know, it remains to be seen, but I'm pretty sure he's not going to be running the whole time.
Okay. I think that's a fair answer.
How about you?
I like I said, I'd be surprised if he can muscle all his way through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is, it sounds terrible to say, but I think the Matt Moore injury is kind of the best case scenario for that situation.
Right.
For better or worse, at the end of this year, we're going to know what we have in him. And I think that's very important.
Yep.
Another bright spot from this last week has been Grayson Griner, as you touched on earlier, well on his way to reaching that 4 WAR mark that I projected for him. So he's there. And last week, almost 500 on the week, double homer and then another one in the day game today. Liking what you're seeing recently?
I am, and I poo-pooed him so hard. I was like, the first couple weeks he looked so lost at the plate. I thought, we're not going to get any production from him at all. And then he reels off this hit streak, and he's got a few under his belt, and then he goes back-to-back bombs. And the hits that he had, he's a big dude. It was fairly effortless power, I thought. I mean, he's not up there flailing and hacking because he's a big dude. He's like 6'6". Mm-hmm. His pitch framing has been terrific. Mm-hmm. He makes Hicks look poor behind the plate. I mean, he catches the ball well. But I just wonder, like, what do we have in Grayson Griner? Is he a 5, 6, 7 year big league pitcher? Is he a starter? What do we have with Grayson Griner? What is he going to be?
I think he's somewhere. I have no issue projecting him as a 5, 6, 7 year Tiger. I don't know that he's a starting, you know, the thing is catching is going so much now to a 2 and some cases, even 3 catcher system. Like,
yep,
how many
true.
Just straight up starting catchers are there outside of JT Realmuto? There just aren't very right. many.
That's a good point.
I can for sure see him being part of the catching mix for a while. An analytically minded manager might be able to even pick and choose good spots to start him and put him in situations to succeed. But I want to get back to the defensive. After watching James McCann, and this isn't a dog on McCann, like the internet has had its way with him. So I don't want to pile on, but watching Grayson Griner receive compared to watching James McCann is just night and day. And the thing that a lot of the analysts don't bring up, and I'm surprised that Petrie and Morris haven't more, is the advantage of throwing to a 6'6 catcher. Like as somebody who threw at, obviously not nearly this level, but having a big target like that, it just gives you a comfort zone that on the mound. That's
interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that.
That a smaller catcher, and obviously Hicks isn't small, and to be honest, neither was McCann. But I don't know. There's something about a long torsoed catcher that just puts a puts a pitcher in a good headspace on the mound. It becomes easier to hit the glove.
Well, most of the time when we hear about his size, it's as a liability, mm-hmm. not as a benefit, because the premise is you are not letting the umpire get a good look at potential strikes. Like you're too big, you're covering it up.
But yeah,
I think he's staying pretty low, you know.
And a good umpire moves to see the pitch coming. I mean, obviously, Country Joe has limited mobility, but, you know, a lot of the younger ones, I think that's a little. I think the advantage to a pitcher is more than the disadvantage in calls made like that.
Okay.
But, you know,
interesting,
that's just me.
Observation.
Okay. So I was looking at some of the advanced catching statistics. From Baseball Perspective, he grades out league average or better in just about all of their catching statistics, which I feels about. I mean, I can't say I've watched every catcher across baseball, but that feels about right. I feel like he is at least slightly above average as far as a defensive catcher throughout baseball.
Yep. And he doesn't need to hit huge, but he's got to hit some. I mean,
yeah, and is this his rookie year? I mean, did he cross the threshold last year? Like he's a little bit older, but he isn't exactly like massively experienced at the big league level. He's still learning. And and catchers come along a little bit slower just because there's so much more emphasis put on the defense. I don't know.
Yep.
I mean, clearly the 4 WAR mark that I put on him preseason is absurd. He's not getting there.
Right.
But I think there is a little bit of projection left in that bat. You know, I could see two.
I think it,
Go ahead.
I think he's got a strong he's got a solid swing. I mean, he looked like a competent hitter, or it was his approach that I think let him down, and his eye, you know, that let him down a little bit more than his hitting mechanics and his bat to ball, that kind of thing. I mean,
yeah,
that's, I don't know.
Once again,
I'm an amateur.
Not to be piling on somebody who the internet has taken swipes at, I would love to see him in the hands of just a different hitting coach, but.
Yeah. In fact, I was actually surprised with the lack of chatter around Legendary Lloyd a little bit, because our hitting was so bad. I was expecting more to be like, oh, it's got to be Lloyd. I didn't see a ton of that, honestly.
I mean, the bats have started to heat up a little bit, as we'll get into here in a second. But I don't know that we're a million miles away from that in internet land.
That's true.
Especially considering, like, he's been with the team so long, he's had so many different, you know, stints, and we've never been really all that impressed. But
true.
So once again, the offense is suffering from a massive lack of being, as the kids would say, any good. Now, you were always telling me that you love it when a team averages roughly 3 runs per game. So you've really been enjoying this spell, right?
Well, I mostly enjoy it when my team has success and wins. I mean, it's exciting when they get to shake hands afterwards. That's what I like mostly.
So do you think don't shake hands after the game when you know, there's no clubhouse hand shaking after losses?
No touching. Yeah, no, you lose, you may not touch. You only get the warmth of another human being's contact if you win the game. That's part of the reward.
No, that's fine. I mean, I didn't know that, but it does make sense.
No touching.
So we've scored, this is coming into today, and obviously the first game of the doubleheader we did. We've only scored 4 runs or more than 4 runs, excuse me, 3 times this year through the first 20 games, which that's not great. And only the Marlins have scored fewer runs than us, which, you know, they're really not good.
Why waste them? You know, it's extra effort. You might get tired scoring extra runs. You only need to win by 1.
Yeah. Most worryingly, and coming into today, obviously we have hit a couple more home runs, but we had 5 fewer home runs than any other club in baseball.
We had like 11 and the next team had 16.
16, yeah. Christian Yelich has as many home runs as we do.
And the Mariners have like 50 some or something like that.
Yeah.
It's insane. Now, if you break it out by home runs per game, I mean, we haven't played as many games as the Mariners. If you break it down home runs per game, we still,
I mean, really, it's still bad. It's just maybe a hair bit less bad.
It's still terrible.
So let's get into a few of the culprits. Nick, I want to say that he's looked good at the plate, but he still has no homers and only 4 ribs. Like, that is, in theory, our best, I'm using air quotes here that no one can see, our best bat? Like, cold weather? Like, what's the deal with Nick?
I don't know. I mean, you can't attribute it to anything in particular, can you? Like, to say, oh, he's a little dinged, or, oh, he's, you know.
I mean, it could just be a slow start, I guess.
Yeah.
Just, it happens to coincide with, like, 7 other regulars having slow starts.
I mean, he hasn't been terrible.
No, there's just no run production. And hitting second a lot of times will do that to you, but...
Right. He's batting .261, slugging .406. So, that makes for a 722 OPS.
So below career averages, but not like...
Yeah, not below terrible. I mean, that's a 91 OPS plus, so he's slightly below league average. But... He could turn it on and have a killer couple weeks and be just fine again. You know, he hasn't forgotten how to hit.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean,
he's forgotten how to hit home runs. Maybe
been a while since he had that kid, so you wonder if the perspective that he that he got from the child is worn off. I mean, is that the kind of thing you lose? You know, you're a parent.
Yeah, you get sick of your children pretty fast. I mean, that's true.
But coming into today, 21 extra base hits over the 5 games last week, 6 today in the first game. Are you starting to sense a little bit of a warm front coming from the D?
Well, guys aren't going to hit 120 over real long stretches of time. If they do, they're not Major League Baseball players. I mean, things are going to normalize somewhat. If a guy hits 450, he's not going to hit 450 for three or four straight weeks. I mean, if water tends to find its level a little bit, and we were so bad, it had to find level a little bit. Regardless of their lack of big names or whatever, these guys are still big league hitters. And we've seen that with the bottom lineup the last couple of days. Like, they're going to hit some.
Are you surprised at Gordo? It's rhetorical Gordo. Question, obviously.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a sarcastic, snappy comeback. But the answer is, yeah, I'm surprised at Gordo hitting three bombs.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like we should have done a White Sox legend Gordon Beckham over under in the preseason show. It was a hitter side, so I think you let us down there.
I do that a lot with people.
Fun stat, over the last week, only Jacoby did not have an RBI.
That's crazy. Yeah. Jacoby is scuffling.
He is not good, and yet still better than Mikey Matsuk.
Yeah, and we need his glove out there. Yeah. I mean, I'll say, if I have to say this every time on the podcast for the next 4 weeks, I will. But Jacoby Jones does not need to hit a ton. He needs to catch the ball.
So after 4 weeks, are you calling it at that point?
Yeah, if he's still hitting .150, then I'll probably get ornery.
But. Okay, that's fair. Where's the offensive ceiling for this unit? Because we've seen the doldrums, and we both think, you know, that things could perk back up. What is the best case scenario? Is there any scenario where we're a league average offense?
No. I don't think so. If we finish 20th in the league in offense, that would be terrific.
And
right? I think a lot.
I don't see a scenario where even that happens. Truly.
There you go.
Not to be a Debbie Downer. Last bat that we kind of need to get rolling, Miggy, still striking out in almost a quarter, or I think a third of his at bats. Just four extra base hits on the year. Ah, man. I thought that this was the proper bounce back year. I thought he was going to get back to being, you know, Miggy in capital yeah. letters.
Is this the right time to segue to some of Miguel Cabrera's off the field turmoil?
By all means, absolutely. Do you, any specific candy product you're thinking of?
All right, so we had, in the person of Chris the Crown, if you remember him, the mascot,
we were
introduced to the world of BitBits. Now, there has been unhappiness and turmoil in BitBit land, and I'm going to try to lay this out for you in a fairly succinct way, but it's too entertaining to gloss over too fast. So a few years ago in 2016, Miguel Cabrera started Miggy Foods. This is his company, right? He took on two business partners, two native Venezuelan guys, and they went into business together and started making BitBits. Well, they have recently had a falling out. There's been a lot of backstory here. Miguel accuses these two guys of lavishly spending on office space and personal benefits from the business. And the two Venezuelan men accuse Cabrera of becoming despondent and all but abandoning the company as his personal life was in turmoil.
Wait, so there are things more important than producing Bunch of Crunch knockoff candies?
Evidently. Huh. So each side currently is suing the other for $750,000. Right now, you cannot buy BitBits. You can't find them on Amazon. You can't buy them at Comerica. In fact, Miggy Foods owes the Detroit Tigers they had a 2-year deal for $729,000. That's what Miggy Foods was going to pay the Tigers for this promotion. And they have not paid that, evidently, or have not paid part of it. But you cannot buy BitBits. So if you have some unopened BitBits, you may want to save those.
It's a collector's item now.
A collector item for a memento. So this is, I don't get too far in the weeds here, but Miguel Cabrera has been dealing with this and arguing with these two men and being close and then not being close. This is on top of the drama involving his mistress,
his
payments. And, you know, they're fighting over payments, how much the kids get from this mistress. So it's just, I don't know what your capacity, Jordan, is like to handle drama in your life. But if this was my life, I don't have a very high capacity to deal with these kind of serious drama issues. I think that would be a lot.
Yeah. He seems to have a knack for just finding kind of distractions like that. You know, yeah, like
his personality is such where he can just be like a kid out there and be all playful.
Yeah.
But you gotta wonder, like, when he puts his earrings in after the game and gets ready to head home, what's that like for him? You know, I don't want to speculate. People are entitled to their own private lives, but we're all people. You know, here's a guy who's been at the pinnacle of the game. He's coming from a country that's facing extreme turmoil right now. Mm-hmm. He's got business relationships that have fallen apart. He's got, romantic relationships of various kinds that are crazy. Well, I mean, what does that do to a person? And I don't want to speculate too much. Professionals are professionals, but you wonder.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't imagine having that many active bits and pieces going on in my life like that. It would be so difficult to keep all of the feuds and whatnot straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, I'm not going to draw a straight line from off-field shenanigans to baseball production, because I don't think that's how it works. But I will say there is something to a guy like Rob Gronkowski, who is just a golden retriever and doesn't think too much and doesn't know anything about business or, you know, whatever it is. Not only off-field pursuits, but just kind of personality, the kind of the dumb jock thing works in some ways, you know.
Yeah, I think it kind of furthers the narrative that, you know, it seems like most athlete business ventures have some hiccups. You know, obviously there are plenty of smart athletes out there that invest in bonds, I don't know, whatever you invest in. Clearly,
but you could see this coming, couldn't you?
Yes, it does not super surprise me at all. It's sad. R.I.P. Bitbits. We barely knew you.
This to me provokes the most important question, and that is the Chris the Crown costume for sale? Can we get it on liquidation? And to, will you wear it around?
Oh, if you get me Chris the Crown, I for sure will wear it. No doubt about that one.
I'm going to tweet Miguel Cabrera and see if the Chris the Crown costume is available.
Hey, yo, Miggy, let me get that Chris the Crown.
Help you settle up your bankruptcy year or whatever.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, hit us with some power rankings.
Power rankings. Okay, I feel like I've been in the weeds a little bit the last couple weeks with some obscure. We did Game of Thrones last week. This week I have something everybody can understand. You know, I'm going to bring it down on a more simple level. Easter dinner, we went to my in-laws, and we had not one, not two, not three, but four different kinds of vegetables on the table.
Why?
I like vegetables. Vegetables are delicious.
Are
you
they? Can,
you know, you have ham. Yes, Paul, they are. That wasn't a question.
It's a statement.
It was a statement. So I have for you the top, not even seven, ten.
Dang.
Vegetables.
You're so interested in this, you're breaking format. Man.
Yeah. You got to get serious about the vegetables. All right, a couple guidelines. All right. Potatoes and beans and kind of other staples are just out.
Beans aren't vegetables. They're legumes.
Well, in either case, they're out.
Okay. Fair enough.
Also, different types of lettuces are out. Those are like a salad. Okay.
Okay. All
right. So yeah, I'm having just table vegetables.
All right.
Coming in at number 10 is broccoli. I feel like broccoli is a pretty popular vegetable. It's not bad. I can, steam or even roast. I prefer to roast some broccoli, and it's inoffensive and it's nutritious.
I completely agree with that.
Okay. Slightly better than broccoli for my money is asparagus.
Ugh.
You can put it on the grill. You can roast it in the oven. It's just a tasty side dish.
I'm 1,000% out on asparagus, and I think you know why.
Because it can be kind of slimy sometimes.
No, what it does to your pee.
Oh, it turns your pee green?
No, it makes it stink.
Oh.
Are you not familiar? Does your pee not stink?
Well, usually I don't savor the aromas of my own urine when I do it.
I don't savor the good aromas. You just are repulsed by the bad ones.
Okay.
There's no way that I'm the only one that doesn't.
It's only number 9, all.
It's disgusting. It's inedible.
Fine, whatever. 8 is corn.
All right.
Corn's fine. Corn, you can have it in some salsa. You can have it canned. I prefer canned to frozen for sure.
Yeah. Corn. I think the, on the cob in the fall is kind of your pinnacle of corn.
It's go-to corn. I like it in salsa, chunky garden salsa.
Yeah, for sure. My dad loves corn. Big Steve is all about corn season.
Big Steve likes the corn.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're getting into traditional power ranking territory here.
Feels better. Yeah.
We have garlic.
Garlic is not a vegetable, is it?
What is it then, Smarty Pants?
An herb, a seasoning? I don't know. But it's for sure not a vegetable. He says that without looking it up at all. So it very well could be a vegetable. I don't know.
Number 7 on the vegetable power rankings is garlic. And that's how it's going to be. Okay, first thing when you see a recipe that calls for garlic, you instantly double the amount. Okay, this calls for 3 cloves of garlic. Okay, for me, that's 6 or 7 cloves of garlic that you need. They're small. Chop them up. It's fine. All right. Number 6 is squash. I like a nice butternut squash is my favorite. But the acorn squash is also good. It depends how you prepare it. For chopping into cubes, you want the butternut.
I actually really like – have you done spaghetti squash?
Yeah, I like spaghetti
squash.
That's
legit. Put that in as a pasta dish as opposed to like real pasta. I'm all about that.
At first it creeped me out, but now I kind of like it. Get it with a nice spaghetti sauce. It's fine.
Yeah.
Salt and pepper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 5 is going to be a little controversial, but it's a vegetable that I like, and that is Brussels sprouts.
I'm assuming that you put the end of the S on the end of Brussels to signify that we're all saying this incorrectly.
They are called Brussels sprouts and not Brussels sprouts. And if you say Brussels sprouts, you are a bad person. It's Brussels sprouts. And I'm going to be super pedantic about that because that's what's right and proper.
All right.
Okay.
It's fair.
I like them. You can steam them, roast them. I like chop them up.
Yeah. I actually low-key kind of like them also.
There you go. A lot of Brussels sprout lovers out there. The Brussels sprouts haters right now are yelling at their device. Anyway.
Without a doubt.
All right. This one is not a regular old potato, and that is a sweet potato. A yam, if you will. Is there a difference between a yam and a sweet potato, by the way?
If you don't know the answer to that question, nobody does. You're the person in this world that would know answer to that question.
I don't think there is a difference. I think they're the same. And I like sweet potatoes. You kind of chop them up into fries and roast them.
Mm-hmm.
They're good.
Yeah, for sure.
Number 3 is peppers. Where would we be in a world without peppers? You need the jalapenos. No, you need the jalapeno peppers if you're going to have a nice salsa, and you get bell peppers in a salad. Bell peppers are, you know, green. Then you get yellow, orange, and red. Do you know that they're all the same variety? They're just different levels of ripeness.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Huh, who knew?
Bell peppers. And you can get Anaheims. I don't go for the super spicy ones. I can't handle it. I'm too delicate. But I like a little spicy pepper. It's
the low country in your blood.
It is a lot of low country in my blood. It's true. Number two is onions.
Ugh.
Is onions a vegetable?
I don't know. Probably, maybe.
Same world as garlic, Paul.
Yeah, it's your world. We're all just living in it. So you tell us what's a vegetable. Alum?
Are they alums? I think that's the family. I know I'm making this up.
Definitely.
Okay. Onions are, you can have onion rings, you know, just raw onions, different varieties. Any dish is going to need kind of garlic and onions in order to be good. You know, soups and, you know, tacos, onions. Number two. Number one, you got to guess.
I don't know what's left. Carrots? Celery?
Yes. Yes, it's carrots.
Oh, wow. Nailed it.
Carrots are delicious. I have affinity for orange vegetables, mostly, if you couldn't tell. Carrots are good, cooked with honey and brown sugar, kind of as a sweet. But they also can be a nice savory. You scoop out some hummus with a carrot, gives you a nice crunch.
Yeah.
Have it with your wings. It's fine.
I actually eat carrots and celery with hummus every day for lunch.
Oh boy, I got some bad news. Moving on to the bottom three.
Do not hate on celery.
Starting at number three from the worst, we have cucumbers.
Ugh.
Cucumbers make me burp like nastiness. They taste like trash. Don't even think about putting a cucumber slice in some water. You're going to get that right back in your face. Don't put your cucumber in my water.
Have we discussed the whole pickling thing?
In terms of,
like, they pickle all kinds of stuff. How did we determine that when you pickle a cucumber, that's what's called a pickle?
You know, it's one of the world's mysteries. It's an enigma, really. That's the only redeeming quality of cucumbers, and that is you can turn them into a pickle.
I like pickles.
Pickle Rick.
Sure.
I like pickles a lot. Number two is peas.
Ugh.
Which is funny because I like kind of the snow peas, like in the pod.
Yeah.
Those are fine for.
Yeah, I like those too.
But you get like, you know, just like a frozen peas or whatever. See, I was traumatized by these as a child because I always would have to pick the peas out of everything. I hated peas. I still hate peas. I don't want peas.
Okay.
Number one worst vegetable. You know what it is, Hall?
I'm going to go with celery based on foreshadowing.
Yes. I'm glad you admitted it. That's right. Celery is a terrible vegetable.
How can you possibly have an opinion on celery? It's literally nothing.
It's got like negative food value. It's a reverse food.
Yeah. Is that a problem?
Yeah. It's like eating cellulose. It's bad. It's stringy. It tastes. Ugh. I don't like celery.
It's fibrous.
Ants on a log. No. Yeah. I don't want to eat plant fibers. At least, you know, pretend like I'm eating food as a vegetable instead of some rabbit food. I hate celery. Celery's dumb.
You are ornery tonight.
Huh. That's my secret. I'm always ornery. That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right, let's move on to some Twitter questions. If you want to get
see anything by the side of the road?
Not really. I don't know. It's been a uneventful week on the side of the road. So we'll skip it. I feel like I only want to bring the top table crap on the side of the road to this show. And there just wasn't really anything standout.
Let me know if you see any vegetables. Probably see some celery thrown alongside the road.
Yep. Saw a extremely mangled squirrel today. It was pretty disgusting. The insides are super red, and that actually might have just been blood now that I think about it, but it was really sick. All right. I moved quickly past that thing. Let's see.
Twitter questions.
Eric sends out a tweet the day of and says, hey, send us Twitter questions. And then that's where these come from. David Bernier, at David Bernier 94. If you could pick an animal to take the place of one baseball player, which animal would you choose and what position would they play?
Well, probably not any position where you have to throw, and probably Air Bud. So maybe Air Bud as a left fielder or something.
Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking too. Like a golden retriever or just a dog of any sort as an outfielder.
Yeah. Retrieve is right in their name.
Yeah. I mean, that's literally what outfielders are, is they are outfield retrievers.
So I feel like that's a good choice. Unless you can teach a cheetah to, get a ball and run it.
Pinch runner.
Pinch running cheetahs. That's a solid take.
Yeah. Speaking of, you asked for, let's see, send us your questions about the Tigers and or the mysteries of life. So because of that, we got, Cam Girard asking, is time a construct of man or a rule of nature? You're on your own here, buddy.
Well, it's fascinating because in physics, time does not necessarily need to move forward as a stream. There's nothing in the mathematics says that you couldn't reverse it. In fact, if you think about it practically, if you simply reverse the series of events that happens, you can move time backwards.
Yeah, okay, sure.
It's one of the mysteries of life, the river of time. Mm.
I feel like I should throw out a Jeremy Baramy reference for all of our good place watchers out there.
There you go.
Adam Langworthy says, so Matthew Boyd greater than sign Chris Sale. That's how it works, right?
Actually, yes. This year, yes. I mean,
he literally was greater than, at least on one day. And like you say, the rest of the days so far this season.
Yeah. 2019, it's Matt Boyd's world. Matthew Boyd's world.
He'll always be Matt to me. Okay. To be honest, even if he always came up as Matthew, he'd still be Matt. Nicholas Haller says, thoughts on Petrie as a commenter?
I like Petrie. Petrie to me, okay, so of the conglomeration of announcers that we've been given.
That is a good way of putting it, yeah.
I would put Petrie one. I'm talking color guys. Mm-hmm. I would put Petrie one. I'm going to have to say Gibson two. I'll say Morris three. And I will say Simo four.
I think you're being generous with Simo at four.
Well, because he's the only guy. Is there more people? Because they're going to be in front of
him. I think just dead airspace might be.
I don't have a lot of love for
like,
Craig.
I really like Simo. Like, I think he's a cool dude. Like, I'd very much like to hang with him. Just not so hot as a broadcaster. The thing with Petrie is I feel like he's the best broadcaster and the least Tiger. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Ideally, at least based on what we're used to, there would be kind of a little bit more blending of those. But he is for sure the best broadcaster of the... I was going to say
I think that's right.
Of the three, let's be honest. David J. Hamm says, through seven innings of game 21 for the Tigers, Beckham, Grayson Griner, and Ronnie Rodd have combined for five more homers than Nick, Miggy, and Candelario. Please explain baseball to me.
Baseball contains natural random variations, and sometimes weird stuff happens. So you flip a coin 10 times. If you flip a coin enough times, at one stretch, you're going to have 10 heads in a row.
That's probably true.
So is this going to keep up forever? No.
Yes. No, no. Jeremy Troy asks, speaking of, how much longer of the power outage / low averages do you think the organization is willing to endure before legendary Lloyd is discharged? Which actually, I like that wording. It makes him sound like he's some sort of like oily substance that we just need to get rid of.
We need to discharge him, like expectorate Lloyd.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's got some leeway yet. When's the last time we fired a coach midseason? It was that one
Wally Joyner,
the pitching
coach. Bazio, but that was for
that's right.
Extenuating for, circumstances.
That's right. I almost forgot. That was the stump spider monkey thing, wasn't it?
That's the story we were told.
Oh, that was a bad deal.
It was not good. It's not good. I don't know. We as Tigers Twitter are going to be done with Lloyd long before the organization is done with Lloyd.
Okay, let's imagine Lloyd was fired tomorrow. I mean, who's upset about that? I mean, are there players who are really like, oh yeah, Lloyd was key to me getting on track? Like, I don't hear a lot of that.
No. I think watching Miggy take batting practice is actually more of a hitting help than the actual hitting coach.
Who knows? Maybe.
Anthony Patton says, do you think with a good first half, the Tigers will try and ship out Nico?
I'd be stunned. But, I mean, is he that much of a trade chip? I suppose if he keeps hitting like this.
He is, amongst our batters, he is leading the team in wins above replacement right now.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that means that he is our best. I mean, obviously, it's not a completely, all-inclusive statistic, but I think you could be forgiven for making the case that he is our best hitter. He's not old. He can play several positions.
What's he going to fetch as far as prospects or a ransom?
Yeah, I mean, it would take a contender losing their utility guy, something like that.
Yeah.
Before he
it's too early for that kind of talk. Let's enjoy.
Yeah.
Mr. Goodrum.
Right now, he is definitely more valuable to us than he would be on the trade market. And until his reputation kind of catches up with how good he is at this point.
Exactly.
I don't know that the trade value ever will. Another broadcasting question. Kalamazoo Whammer says, has Gibby improved as a broadcaster?
No. I'm not saying he's bad, but he hasn't improved. I mean, he's just kind of what he is.
I would definitely agree with that. He's definitely very much the same broadcaster now as the first time, which, I mean, he is an old dude. Like, he's not necessarily in the mind to change much, which
I will tell you, there's not this like pseudo playful banter he had with Mario. Like, he'd at least needle Mario in like a very dry way. He does not do that with Shep yet.
Yeah, and he had a little bit more track record with Mario, so maybe that's it.
But Mario always seemed a little annoyed by it. I don't know. It never really worked for me. Like, oh yeah, they're having fun. No, it was just like Gibby putting Mario in awkward positions.
Yeah, he was, I think, still kind of the awkward uncle at the family gathering.
So they never really worked for me. I don't know. Gibby's a fine man and a smart baseball guy, but I still don't love him as a broadcaster.
No. Last one is from David Fleiss. David Fleiss? David Fleiss.
Sure.
Of the current unsigned free agents, which do you think would be a good option for the Tigers?
Is this like a Gio Gonzalez question? I don't really understand.
Gio's out there. Keuchel's out there. Craig Kimbrell's out there. Trying to think if there's any other big names.
I don't know anything about this. What do you know? Are we going to sign any of these people?
I don't necessarily think we need another starting pitcher right now. Like, I think if someone goes down at this point, you reach down and grab a bow or someone like that. Or even a Ryan Carpenter, your boy. I kind of rule out the starters. And right now, I mean, it's hard to knock the bullpen either. I don't know that we need a Craig Kimbrell. I mean, he clearly not for the money that he probably wants. And at this point, like, they're so far behind. I'm not entirely sure what any team signing them is going to expect to get. Like, it's going to be a month or so before they're ready to roll. Yep. By then, it's, I don't know. I mean, definitely not for us.
Correct.
I hope somebody in our division spends a lot of money and gets no return on them. How about that?
Smart.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at PodcastYanos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinio4, and we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Eric, it's been a pleasure talking to you tonight. Do you have anything else to say to listeners before we get out of here?
I just really feel that garlic is a vegetable.
That's all. I mean, that's fine. The thing, I was actually meaning to bring this up when you were talking about garlic. One of the big, like, uncomfortable, awkward moments in life is when you've eaten something that has way more garlic in it than you thought. And now all of a sudden you have massive garlic breath. And there's, like, nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
It's just straight up regret.
Your fate has been sealed. Yeah, you can't undo that.
It's a tough one. Like, I feel like there's almost nothing in life that, like, you can't figure a way to undo. There's nothing you can do about that. You got garlic breath. Yeah. And it is what it is.
You can chew every piece of gum in the state. It's not going to work for you.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.